Chapter 17.
Elotron Sector. 0 days after Plan K-10.
The blast doors aboard the Thunderstrike were sealed. Brand saw that as a positive sign, an indication that the bridge crew was attempting to isolate the Imperial infiltration team until she found Charmer, Roach, and a trio of non-combatant personnel and fresh meat trying to burn through one door with a welding torch.
"We're on our way to the command deck," Charmer stammered out, swallowing half the words in frustration. "We don't know."
It was the wounded crew, Brand said. They were Imperials. Must have slaughtered everyone on the trumpet's call before coming to the flotilla. Roach was speaking rapidly into her comlink, but she seemed to be receiving no response. Brand considered the situation. If the infiltrators had control of the blast doors, they'd probably taken the bridge. They would have taken internal comms offline already. They'd need time to take the better secured systems, weapons, engine control, life support, but not a lot of time. Brand eyed Charmer as he sheared through metal, sent sparks flying. There was no way he'd make it to the bridge quickly enough. She'd already turned away and started down the passage when she remembered to say, "Keep going, I'll try another way." Even after all these years, teamwork still didn't come easily to her. But Roach was following her. She recognized the footsteps, swift and ungainly.
"Gadron's in the armory," Roach called. "I was going to meet him."
Brand glanced at the girl.
"So? That means he has guns. He can get out."
Brand mentally reviewed the armory inventory.
"Maybe," she agreed.
It wouldn't be a fast or subtle escape, but he had a better chance than Charmer. "If you can make contact, tell him to meet me at the bridge. I'll wait as long as I can." Roach started to reply. Brand stopped her with a look. She left the girl behind before retracing her route to the trumpet's call. The damage to the light freighter was severe, but in some ways that was to her advantage. The main computer safety systems, had they been online, would have prevented what she was planning. She slid into the pilot's chair in the dark of the bridge and transferred whatever power remained from life support to the engines. A warning light and a timer crystallized in one corner of her mask's display, alerting her of exactly how long her suit's emergency oxygen would last. The number wasn't encouraging. Her stomach lurched as the artificial gravity cut out. She fastened the chair's safety harness over her chest and resumed work. Slowly, the trumpet's call unmoored its docking clamps from the Thunderstrike. As Brand had expected, the Thunderstrike did not unclamp itself from the trumpet's call. As she activated the ship's thrusters, a dozen new lights appeared on the main console. Brand's teeth were vibrating before she felt the freighter shake. Metal howled, echoing through the ship's interior. Brand wondered briefly which would tear apart first, the Thunderstrike's clamps or the airlock of the trumpet's call. Then she had her answer. Following a sound like the shrieking of 1,000 tormented droids, the ship jumped forward, and the detritus of the bridge, a data pad, a ration pack wrapper, a stuffed Bantha toy that must have meant something to a now-dead crew member, began swimming back into the main passage. The thin air remaining on the trumpet's call was being sucked out of the damaged airlock along with anything adrift in the zero-gravity environment. It didn't matter to Brand. She kept the freighter aligned with the Thunderstrike's hull and steered it, painfully slowly, thanks to the freighter's damaged thrusters and her own neglected piloting skills, in the direction of the Corvette's bridge. Her suit clung to her, warming automatically as the ship's temperature dropped. She barely noticed the freighter's communications light blinking among all the flashing warnings on the console. She flipped a switch and listened to a voice garbled by static, barely decipherable. She heard Lieutenant Sargon, Empire, and Flotilla. She heard what sounded like a blaster shot. Brand considered Sargon a friend. Early in her tenure with the company, she'd intruded on his privacy, dug around, and learned who he had been before the war. He was an actor, a musician, a historian, a man of 100 talents, none of which he ever admitted to in front of Twilight. She respected him for that. She was glad to see the rest of the flotilla understood his message and his sacrifice. One by one, the dots on the scanner indicating other rebel ships disappeared until only the Thunderstrike and a pilotless Promise, loyal until the end, remained. The rendezvous had been compromised. Those able had fled to hyperspace. That still left Twilight Company to save. When the trumpet's call had crossed the bulk of the Thunderstrike from aft to fore, Brand returned to the freighter's ruined airlock and peered through the jagged hole left after the ship's violent unmooring. The hull of the Thunderstrike filled her view, smooth metal interrupted by sensor dishes and power distributors and a blade of plating, like the circuit-etched surface of some strange machine moon. Her mask filtered the shapes, magnified her vision. She knew the interior of the Thunderstrike as well as she'd known the streets of Tanganine. She had painstakingly memorized every deck, planned ambushes and escape routes in case of disaster. She felt a fool for not studying the exterior more closely. She intended to correct her error if she lived through the day. She spotted the object of her search, a maintenance hatch, built for droids but wide enough, she hoped, to admit a human. She didn't hesitate to pull off the wall of the airlock and propel herself into space. She plunged through the void between ships into a sliver of blackness between two gray skies. In that void, she had time to wonder about the rashness of her actions. If she launched herself with too much velocity, she would rip her suit when she struck Thunderstrike's hull. Even a microscopic tear in her gloves would mean her death. Yet she had jumped without fear or anxiety, without picturing her comrades or envisioning the infiltrators disintegrated by her hand. Even Namir, she thought, jaded as he was, would have admitted a thrill. She felt nothing. All she had was a job and a purpose and a system. She twisted her body to orient the soles of her boots toward the hull. When they struck metal, a sharp pain ran through the ankle she'd sprained on Coyote. But though her whole body felt the jolt, neither bone nor combat suit broke. She leaned forward as she ricocheted back into space, stretched to grasp at the rim of the hatch and dig her fingers under a metal joint. Her arms ached as she held herself against the Thunderstrike, her velocity draining away. Once she'd tentatively secured her position, she forced the hatch open with 2 disruptor shots. She had to wriggle to lower herself inside, but she was able to fit. The space was designed for an astromech unit, broad if not tall. Once again, her foremost worry was for the suit. A tight squeeze had the potential to shred the fabric. As she descended, she spared one last glance at the void. The inertia of the trumpet's call had carried the freighter away, exposing the endless blackness and 1,000 stars to her sight. She'd never been outside a starship so far from a planet before. A part of her wanted to linger, to achieve a sense of solitude that seemed just out of reach. Then a new star winked into being, swiftly growing brighter. A ship arriving out of hyperspace. She magnified it through her mask, over and over, until she could make out its shape. She wanted to be surprised. She wasn't. The ship was an Imperial Star Destroyer.